Thank you very much, Joe, and good afternoon to all of you. The paper I'm going to present this afternoon is going to talk about the load quality assurance sampling, otherwise known as the LQAS sampling technique, as an option for localized evidence-based planning. And I'm going to talk about the benefits and policy issues from the experience that we have had in Uganda. I'm the chief of party of the Uganda Program for Human and Holistic Development, and the rest of my co-authors are listed on the slide, as you can see. So the purpose of the presentation is essentially threefold. I would want to share with you our experience in using LQAS as a survey methodology. I would also want to present a practical example of how we have used this LQAS method to guide program implementation by giving a case study later in this presentation. And also finally share lessons learned and how LQAS has shaped some policy issues in the country, Uganda. The next slide is essentially telling us about what LQAS is all about. I'm not going to, you know, try and delve into the statistical theory behind this methodology that's described elsewhere, but I'm just going to try and mention how we can use this method as part of our programs. LQAS basically is a sampling method that can be used to do several things, and it can be used to be basically locally at a level of a supervision area that I'm going to define in the presentation, to identify priority areas. This could be counties, it could be sub-counties, or indicators that are not reaching average coverage or an established benchmark, as we're going to see later in the presentation. It can also be used to provide an accurate measure of coverage of the health system at a more aggregate level. For example, it can be a program catchment area, it could be a refugee camp, it could be a district, depending on where we all work from. And it can also enable the targeting of interventions within a district. Now, if we assume that we have country X and this country has district Y, which is divided into five counties from A to E, you find that we have a certain program that is covering all these counties. Each county can then be called a supervision area within the LQAS survey methodology, and the district as a whole is then called a supervision unit. LQAS utilizes a minimum of 19 items, and this could be households, it could be facilities, it could be schools, to basically measure coverage or what is happening in those areas in order to assess the indicator. The theory behind this, as I said, is very extensive and has been talked about a lot, but I'll just continue to explain what happens if we, for example, measure an indicator in each of these areas. What happens here, for example, is if we have an indicator that is the percent of children under 5 years of age who slept under a mosquito-treated net the night before the survey, you find that county A has 80%, B has 35%, C is reporting 85%, E is 45%, and D is 20%. If, for example, we have a program have set our benchmark at 50% as being the average or the minimum that we want, then A and C are doing well, and the rest of the counties are not doing very well. They are below the average. So what we learn from this, essentially, is that for the counties that are doing well, that is A and E, we would want to study and learn what is working well, and we also want to learn how we can apply these methods of what works well to other supervision areas so as to enable them work better. So LQAS enables us, in effect, to basically prioritize what interventions we're going to do where within a district, and it's a very, very useful method for district planners to be able to know what is happening in their geographical areas of work. Before I go into the case study that I want to show you this afternoon, I just want to say a little bit about UPHOLD. UPHOLD, as I said, is the Uganda Program for Human and Holistic Development. It's a $105 million project. That's the biggest project of USAID in sub-Saharan Africa. It's a bilateral project between the government of the United States and the government of Uganda. It's a project that's being implemented by JSI Research and Training Institute. Currently, it is in 28 districts of the country, offering services in health, education, and HIV/AIDS to about 10 million Ugandans. And the map here shows the areas where we work. The brown is essentially the areas where we work, and as you can see, we are spread almost uniformly across all regions of the country. LQAS has been used by UPHOLD in a number of ways, essentially, for over four surveys now. From 2004, 2005, 2006, and 2007, we have actually carried out the surveys in different, you know, districts in the country. including the 28 districts that I talked about that we are currently in. We have trained over 300 district level staff on how to use this method, and they actually do the data collection and some of the analysis that we need for this information. We carry out annual presentations of district specific results, and this enables the districts basically to do evidence based work planning, and the districts actually like this user friendly information that is actually capable of giving them very, very specific information at county and sub-county level to enable them to be able to implement what they have to implement and see the progress as they go along. Over time, Uphold has also encouraged other partners in Uganda, such as the Uganda AIDS Control Program, the United Nations Children's Fund, and another project called the Northern Uganda Malaria AIDS and Tuberculosis Program to also use this method in their own programming. The case study that I would want to give you about LQA is essentially based on our experience of distribution of insecticide-treated bed nets in 4 districts in Uganda, and we used guidance from information that we obtained through LQA surveys done over several years, as I'll explain. Uphold as a project works in a number of areas. In malaria, it specifically works in about 4 different areas, but I would want us to concentrate on the procurement and distribution of the insecticide-treated nets, because that's the purpose of the case study that I'm going to present this afternoon. In terms of the distribution of insecticide-treated nets that Uphold carried out, in December 2005, Uphold initiated the distribution of over a quarter a million, that's 260,000 insecticide-treated nets in 9 districts that were deemed to have a low bed net coverage at that point in time. The main objective was to distribute these nets in each of the target districts so as to increase the overall ITN coverage for children under 5 years of age by an average of about 14%. This presentation will focus on the distribution process in 4 districts only, not the 9, simply because over the last 2 to 3 years, the country Uganda has experienced a redistricting process, and districts have increased from 56 in 2005 to 81 currently. Therefore, the sampling frames are not as comparable as they were before. So the 4 districts that we want to concentrate on are those which didn't subdivide, such that we can see the coverage rates across a period of 3 to 4 years. All these 4 districts in the presentation had an ITN coverage among under 5s of less than 10% by the time we started. In each district, sub-counties with the least ITN coverage and the poorest socio-economic indicators were specifically targeted, because LQS can enable you to find out what the coverage is at intra-district level, as I mentioned. Almost 56,000 nets were distributed in the 4 districts over a 3-month period, and I'm going to explain how. And the distribution exercise was collaborative in nature. We work with other partners in Uganda. So we involved the National Malaria AIDS Control Program, district personnel at various levels, and another cadre of lay volunteers whom I've called community medicine distributors, or CMDs, and I'm going to talk about this in a second. In terms of the field procedures, we used what we call the home-based management of fever strategy. This is a strategy that we have, you know, utilized in Uganda to actually increase access to treatment of malaria by utilizing lead volunteers that we call the CMDs to give medicine at village level to babies who present, or children under 5 who present with fever at that level. CMDs were utilized in this process because they were already there. We utilized them for treatment of fever. I know you'll tell me that not all malaria is fever. I mean, not all fever is malaria. But in Uganda, almost 70% of fevers in children under 5 years are basically caused by malaria. So because CMDs are already embedded within the community for other purposes, they could easily identify those households that have children under 5 who are the target group for this distribution of the nets. Secondly, the method of using CMDs results in a more rapid distribution of nets as compared to other methods that we would use, like the antenatal care clinics or through the maternal and child health clinics. And also the method emphasizes community ownership, which is very, very important in terms of empowerment and recognition of lay volunteers, because we need to use these volunteers more and more in developing countries to deliver more public health. As you can see, the supply chain management was monitored. We brought the nets from, you know, the towns to the districts. We took them to sub-county level. We took the nets out of their packaging. We showed the beneficiaries of how they're going to be used and how they're going to be hung up. And then eventually mothers with children under 5 years took the nets that were out of their packaging to make sure that these nets could be used for the purpose that they were meant for. In terms of the method that we used in estimation, we basically made estimates of the district populations of children under 5 years of age by extrapolating from the latest census survey that had been done in Uganda of 2002. We know that the population growth in Uganda is one of the highest in the world. It's at 3.3% per annum. So we extrapolated figures from the 2002 census to get 2006 figures, and we know that about 20.2% of the population is made up of children under 5 years in developing countries like Uganda. So we could be able to get the target group. We also obtained ITN coverage from our LQS survey of 2005 to be able to estimate where we were and where we wanted to go if we were to increase by 14%. So it was quite easy for us to estimate the percentage increment for each district, since the number of nets required to cause a unit percent increment was known for each district. So what we did, that's a very, very busy slide, but what I want us to look at is that the population estimates are given for each of the four districts. Then you find that the ITN coverage for 2004, we knew it was that. For 2005, it was that. So to move it from here to there by an average of 14%, we knew that we had to give this amount of nets in each of the districts. What is interesting in this slide is that shaded area, in that these were our estimates in terms of the theory that we did before we went out and gave a single net. When we actually did the 2006 LQS survey 6 months after distribution, to check on whether our estimates were actually correct, you find that the figures between the estimated and the actual in the terms of the survey are all not significant differences. In other words, the estimates were very, very close to what we found when we went and did the survey. And this was very, very interesting to us. Graphically, that's represented like that. That's the estimate we made, and that's the actual we found in the LQAS 2006 survey. Meaning that this method can be very, very useful at household and community level in terms of estimating how you distribute public health goods like bed nets and other things that you may want to do in the community, or where it can be applicable. So in terms of the summary of the results that we found, Uphold was known to be the only major distributor of the ITNs in the four districts during this time. The post-distribution LQS survey that was conducted in November 2006 showed an average coverage of about 16%, which is a little different from our 14% that we had actually wanted to get, but the value is not significant, as you see, the p-value is not significant. We thought that this difference, while not significant, can be attributed to additional bed nets that were either purchased by, you know, people or households within our geographical area of coverage, or were obtained from other sources, because we cannot, much as we are the major distributor, we are not the only distributor of nets during this time. So in terms of lessons learned, we think that LQS helped convince district health teams and leadership on the choice of sub-counties to provide nets. This is very, very important in low resource settings where politics actually plays a bigger part. If I come from a certain region in the country and I'm the president, I would want my people to benefit rather than using evidence to be able to guide implementation. So LQS can be able to forestall that. Secondly, LQS is a very good method for monitoring short-term projects. We are funded by USAID. We are a six-year project that need to allocate resources appropriately and demonstrate effectiveness or impact. We also found that LQS empowers community ownership and builds consensus during data collection and analysis of results. And we also found that community-based distribution of nets, much as we didn't do a cost analysis for the purposes of this presentation, but we found that it was affordable, and this approach has been replicated elsewhere. Additionally, we found that utilizing research is a good way of targeting interventions in resource-limited settings. It is possible to build simple community surveys into routine programmatic implementation, like Uphold has done. At the district level, such surveys have proven to be a very invaluable tool used in work planning, and the districts actually would want to use this method every year in terms of targeting their intervention. And most importantly, for policy, because this has become a proven methodology, the government of Uganda this year in 2007 has used the community medicine distributors to distribute an additional 1.8 million nets obtained through the Global Fund to other districts in Uganda. One important question many of you are public health specialists, epidemiologists, and others would ask me is how does this LQS method compare with other more known methods such as the demographic health surveys? I did a very, very simple analysis of the 2006 LQS survey that we did and the Uganda Demographic Health Survey that was also done in the same year against parameters that I've been talking about here for malaria. And as you find, along the percentage of children under 5 years of age who had fever in 2 weeks preceding the survey, the two surveys don't seem to be different. Likewise, they don't seem to be different in terms of children with fever who receive timely treatment using the HBMF approach that he talks about. What is different is quite interesting in that the number of households with insecticide treated nets or ITN for the uphold supported districts, the 28, it's actually double that of the national UDHS survey. What this means is that because we gave 250,000 nets during that period of time, and the rest of the districts only got this year, which year is outside the scope of work of this presentation, essentially you find that in our districts there was a concentration of ITNs, whereas in the other districts there wasn't. But if you look at the households with nets of any kind, it's not very different between the two, because in other districts they used to have the conventional nets. But because we have moved away from the conventional non-treated nets to the treated bed nets, we find that in uphold districts it's much higher than in the rest of the country. Figures for this year are going to be different. I don't have the analysis for the 2007 results, but I'm sure this figure will approximate this because they've given out 1.8 million bed nets. In conclusion, I only have one conclusion for program planners and policymakers, and I would want them to consider utilizing LQS surveys more to guide routine implementation of community-based surveys, essentially community-based programs. And as I summarize the presentation, I would just want to thank those people who contributed in some way or another to this work, basically USAID for funding, the district local government's participation in surveys, other partners whom I've already mentioned, and of course the respondents at both household and facility level. Thank you very much.